still feel a little bit weird when we have the song when I'm already up here. I think last time I mentioned Pastor John, he has the benefit of he gets to sit down there and wait till it ends. I'm up here trying to figure out what I need to do to kill time. Maybe I should try like some sleight of hand tricks with the background music and everything. That might work. I thought of one other announcement. Tomorrow, I believe, Grief Share starts. Is that correct? Yes, I thought so. So be praying for the Grief Share ministry, both sessions that'll be taking place. Just so thankful for those who volunteer to lead that. It's just such a huge blessing, and it's so amazing to see all that God has done in working through that ministry, specifically in our church, seeing people from that ministry come and attend service. Just such a great way that we are able to come alongside those who've lost loved ones and be an encouragement to them. So be praying for that tomorrow as they begin their sessions. Well, this morning we are finishing up our series covering the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. If you'd like to follow along, there is an outline in our app, North Goodland BC. You can go ahead and find that in the app store, North Goodland BC, and then go to media, and then the sermon notes should be in there. Now, the idea that we've been starting from as we've gone through this series over the last 6 weeks is that perhaps the most compelling words Christ ever spoke were some of his last. These final words reveal the power, purpose, and passion of Christ. Now, I'm sure we've all heard many times that there's significance in the last words that people speak. Now, I think more often than not, the last words that someone says before they pass away are probably not all that impressive, not all that great. In fact, sometimes I wonder when we read about maybe famous people that we know well throughout history, and we have these certain words attributed to them that they were their last words, and they're these super profound sayings and quotes, and they're saying it's from their deathbed, and I'm wondering, was that really their last words? But what's so cool we're going to talk about this morning is that Jesus' last words, they definitely were significant. Now, everything that he did while he was here on this earth had significance. Nothing was on accident that he did. But the last words that he spoke, we've been looking at six different sayings so far. We're looking at the seventh this morning. But the words that he spoke while he was dying on the cross hold great significance. Because here is where he has come to the whole reason that he came to the earth. He's now on the cross, taking on the punishment that we deserve for our sin. He's taking our sin on himself, and he lived a perfect, spotless life. And so this is the culmination of why he came to this earth. And so the words that he spoke here, we should pay special close attention to and understand why is he saying this, what's the importance of it. And like I said, this morning we're looking at the very final thing that he said. Now, while Matthew and Mark, they both record that Jesus let out one more cry before he died, before he gave up the ghost, Luke is the only one to record the words of that cry in his gospel. That's where we're going to be this morning. And we find that saying in Luke 23:46, and it's a word of commitment, a word of commitment. So Luke chapter 23, if you'd like to turn there with me, Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. And if you'd like to use one of those, it's page 741. Page 741. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And as I said, when we read in Matthew and Mark, they both say that Jesus let out a loud cry and then he gave up the ghost. Here in Luke 23, we see what that loud cry was. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's pray again. God, I just thank you so much for an opportunity to come together and go into your word, and specifically, God, to study the final sayings of Jesus. And today, specifically, to study the very last thing that we have recorded that he said before he died. God, I pray that as we've gone through this series that we've really opened our hearts to what you would have for us, where we've been able to learn more and hopefully understand better the final words that Jesus said as he was making the sacrifice, taking on the punishment that we deserved. God, I pray that as we finish up this morning, as we look at the very last thing we have recorded that he said, that we would understand that these last words really are almost a charge given to us, God. a charge for those who would put their faith and trust in Jesus. And so I pray that as we go throughout studying this morning, again, that you would just open our hearts for the words that you would have us to receive this morning. I pray that you would speak through me your words and not my own, God, that I would be able to step aside and just be used by you. Again, just bless the remainder of the time that we have this morning. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, this morning, as we look into Jesus' final saying from the cross, my prayer is that we come to understand Christ's commitment and consequently our commitment to Christ. Now, quickly to kind of clarify what we're talking about here, in this verse we read where he says, "I commend my spirit." Another word that could be translated to, and actually the verse that Jesus is quoting, we're going to read here in a minute, would use the word commit. And so a lot of times when we think of the word commit, I'm committing to do this. I'm saying I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. Now, while Jesus definitely did do that, he came to the earth to fulfill a purpose. That purpose was to go to the cross and to die in our place, that he was committed to doing so. And we read that he did do that. But the word that he's using here is a little bit different. The word commit here, we're going to get a little bit more into it in a few minutes. But really, he's trusting his spirit into the hands of the Father. So let's look this morning at Christ's commitment. So again, I'm going to read verse 46 one more time. It says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." So here we see Christ's commitment. Christ's commitment. And actually, he is quoting Psalm chapter 31 and verse 5. If you'd like to turn there with me, I'm going to read the first five verses of Psalm chapter 31. Now, as I read the first four verses, verse 5 is the part that he's actually quoting. But as we read the first four verses, let's look at the context of what David is experiencing and try to parallel that with what Jesus is experiencing on the cross. Psalm chapter 31, beginning in verse 1, says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." And verse 5 is where Jesus is quoting, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." So here we see David is the author in this psalm, and he is praying for deliverance from his enemies. And as he's doing so, he's committing his life, he's entrusting his life to the hands of the Father. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. But here in Psalm 31, David trusts the Lord as he is face to face with his enemies. And in doing so, Jesus is trusting his spirit in the hands of the Father as he is face to face with death. Now, before we jump back to Luke 23, how many people in here are familiar with the common bedtime prayer that starts, "Now I lay me down to sleep"? Familiar with that? Heard that? So traditionally it goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." So just this idea of putting our faith and our trust and really our life in the hands of the Father as we go to sleep and trusting that he is going to hold us. Now this psalm, Psalm 31:5, was actually a bedtime prayer that was used by Jewish children, which is really interesting to think about. It's very similar type of sentiments and wording that we see in the prayer that I just quoted. But this prayer in Psalm 31:5 was used by children as they're going to sleep. "I commit myself to you. I'm committing myself to you as I go to sleep. And just hold me, protect me, and keep me." So understanding that and thinking about that is the psalm that Jesus is choosing to quote, choosing to say as he's hanging on the cross, really kind of gives a whole new context to what he's about to do, right? He's about to metaphorically go to sleep. He's going to die. He is going to no longer be living. And so this is the prayer that he chooses to quote. He quotes this psalm. And Warren Wiersbe, he says, "It tells us how our Lord died confidently, willingly, and victoriously." So he was not afraid at that moment. He was fully just giving up his life and trusting his spirit in the hands of the Father. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier, but to go deeper into the word here in Psalm 31:5, the word that is translated to commit here means to deposit in trust as money in a bank. So think of giving over for safekeeping. The same way that we do with our money, we give it to the bank, and they put it literally in a safe sometimes. However they take care of it, we are trusting our money, our finances, in the hand of this bank. And that same meaning is what's applied here to commit. So in Psalm 31:5, David is face to face with his enemies. Probably seems like there's no way out. In fact, he references this net that they've placed before him, this trap that they're trying to catch him in. Not a physical net, but they're right there. He basically sees no way out. But we see that he is not doubting. He is not fearful. He knows that God is his protector. God is going to keep him. God is going to protect him. And as he's doing so, he says, "I commit myself to you." But what he's also saying is, God, regardless of what happens, I'm trusting that you are in control. I'm trusting that you will take care of me. And so applying that meaning of committing to, entrusting, depositing in trust, depositing my trust in the hands of the Father. That's what Jesus was doing. He was depositing his trust, trusting his life, his spirit, in the hands of the Father. So Jesus trusted his soul in the hand of the Father in the same exact manner that David was entrusting himself in the hand of the Father as well. And so we see here that Jesus is as he's quoting Psalm 31:5, he is reminding himself, but again, he knows that there's people out there. He knows that there's people in front of him as he's being crucified, listening to everything that he's saying. He knows that at some point these words are going to be written down for us to read. Thousands of years later. So again, remembering and understanding that everything that Jesus did, everything that he ever said, he did so with a purpose. So yes, he is quoting this psalm. He is entrusting himself to the Father. And as he's doing so, just as David was saying, "God, I'm leaving myself in your hands," Jesus is doing so, and therefore he's offering himself up freely. Jesus offers himself up freely, and that's very important for us when it comes to the point of our salvation, that he offered himself up freely. In committing his spirit to the Father, he was completing the act of sacrifice. He had already gone to the cross, but we know that in order for salvation to be complete, in order for the gift of salvation to be complete, he had to die and then be rose again 3 days later. He had to, therefore, in doing so, defeating death and defeating sin. If he went to the cross and just hung there and took a punishment for several hours and then they took him down, the sacrifice would not have been complete, because as the Bible tells us, the wages of sin is death. He had to die. And so in giving his spirit to the Father and trusting his spirit to the Father right before he dies, he is showing that he is offering himself up freely. Matthew says that he yielded his spirit. When we read that he says that Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, that's showing an act of will, an act of free will. He chose to give up his spirit. Nobody took his life from him. He gave it freely. Again, that's important when it comes to the idea of sacrifice. If he did not actively give himself up, if he did not give up his life and somebody else took it, that's no longer a sacrifice. He had to do this in order to complete the sacrifice. John 10 and verse 18, Jesus says, talking of his life, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He says, "No man take it from me. No man taketh my life from me." He is going to freely lay it down. And we read in the Bible that there is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's freely offering up his life to complete that act of sacrifice, to make salvation available to us today. Now, it's important to note that Jesus only hung on the cross, from what we read, for only a few hours. Only several hours he was on the cross. Typically, victims of crucifixion, those who were being hung on the cross, would take much longer to actually die. And sometimes it would take days for them to die while they're hanging up there. And so, first of all, to think about it, that is the sacrifice, that is the punishment that Jesus was willing to take on in our place. Again, just reminds us of the great love that he has for us. as we read through the Gospels and we read the details of all the punishment that he received, the beatings, the torture that he received, and finally the crucifixion, we get to see the extent of his love for us. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through something like that, knowing that you did something to deserve it, right? Other people who received that punishment of crucifixion, they were guilty of some sort of sin, breaking some sort of law. And it would have to be very difficult and very painful and torturous to go through something like that. But to think that Jesus did it completely innocent, that again just shows the extent of his love for us. But going back to the idea that crucifixion usually would take much longer for somebody to die, and Jesus himself was on the cross for a relatively short amount of time compared to those who would typically be killed by crucifixion. This is another thing that points to the fact that he's offering his life up. He did not just slowly wither and die away. He chose at this moment that we read here, he was going to die. He was going to give up the ghost. He was going to freely die in our place. Also, the fact that he cried out with a loud voice. The fact that, again, these men, these people who would be crucified would be hanging for days and their body breaking down and they're just being beaten down. That's somebody who at the very end could probably barely even breathe, let alone utter any kind of words. Yet Jesus, at this moment, he cries out with a loud voice. So much so, we're back in Luke chapter 23, in verse 47, it says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" Now this is after he's already seen an earthquake. He's seen darkness that didn't make any sense. Pastor John, we went into that. He talked about that several weeks back, about the darkness that took place. All of these things are supernatural things that are taking place, happening while this man is on the cross. And then he gives this loud cry and then gives up, he dies. He gives up the ghost. And this centurion, all of these things that he's seen, all these things he's witnessed and taken in, the only possible reaction that he could have to that is, this has to be a righteous man. In another gospel, it says, truly, this is the Son of God. And so all that he's seeing, all that he's witnessing can only point to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And so the fact that he was only on the cross for a short amount of time compared to most crucifixions, and the fact that he cried out with a loud voice right before he died, again, show that he did this fully out of his own free will. He fully just gave up his life for us as a sacrifice. So we see as he's quoting Psalm 31, praying, as he's facing the enemy, he's face to face with death, and we see that he's offered himself up freely. He's not afraid of this death. He's entrusting himself to the Father. And that's what we see next here, is that Jesus trusted in the Father. So just as David trusted God with his spirit when he was face to face with the enemy, Jesus entrusted his spirit with the Father as he was face to face with death. And in doing so, he was trusting that the Father would play his role in the resurrection. Now, as we read throughout the New Testament, we see in multiple places that basically all three members of the Trinity played a role in the resurrection of Jesus. We read that the Spirit, the power of the Spirit that raised him up from the dead, is the same Spirit that we have in us when we receive the gift of salvation. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we have that same Spirit that raised him up from the dead. We also see Jesus. He says, we just read, that he gives it up freely and he's going to take his life back. He's going, and we see here that he's putting his trust in the Father. He's trusting that the Father is going to play his role in the resurrection. So he's entrusting himself fully in the Father. Now this example, the fact that he's quoting back to David, is just one of many, many examples that we see throughout the Bible. As we read through the Old Testament, we see many different characters and situations that point towards Christ, that point towards the Messiah. We see in multiple instances where Moses is kind of that example. His life is kind of some things that happen in his life point towards Jesus, point towards the Messiah. In this example, David is that one that's pointing towards the Messiah. And every single book of the Bible, now, a lot of times today in some modern churches, I use the term churches loosely, they kind of put the Old Testament aside. We don't really need that. We don't need to worry about that. We'll just focus on the New Testament. We have the Old Testament for a reason. It's there for a reason. Yes, Jesus came to fulfill the law. We have the Old Testament to show us that basically we cannot live up to the standard that God has. It's perfection. We see what God, his standards that he puts forth. We see the law that he's given. And we also see countless times throughout the Old Testament where mankind falls short of what God has set forth as the standard. So the Old Testament shows us that we need a Savior, that we need a Messiah. And so as you go through the Old Testament, every single book of the Old Testament points towards Jesus in one way or another. That points towards the Messiah one way or another. And here we see David as the example of representing what Jesus is going to be doing at one point. He's going to freely be trusting in the hand of the Father to keep him and to protect him as he's facing his enemy. He has no doubt, he has no fear, he knows that God is going to be with him and he's going to keep him. Now, while Christ did in fact fulfill a commitment, we talked about how the reason he came to the earth was to go to the cross. He made a commitment that he was going to do that. While he did fulfill a commitment, the word commit here again, or commend, means something different. What Jesus is doing is he's committing his spirit to the Father and trusting that he will protect and deliver him as he gives up his life and completes the sacrifice. But Christ's commitment here in Luke 23:46 also serves as an example to us. What I mean by that is our commitment to Christ basically is twofold, and we're going to kind of break that down. But the fact that he died on the cross, and this is what he is saying, he's also setting an example for us. Because we know that he did come to the earth to die on the cross in our place, to offer the gift of salvation. But we also know that while he was here, he set an example of how we should live. Now, we know we cannot live a perfect, spotless life like Jesus did, but he has also left the Holy Spirit for us to lean on and to trust in and to look for guidance and wisdom as we strive to live each day for Christ and as Christ lived. So our commitment to Christ is twofold. We first commit our lives to him at the moment of salvation, but we also daily commit our lives to him as he keeps us and grows us. This is evident in the theologies of justification and sanctification. So not to go too deep into that, because we could go all day talking about that, but to quick summary, justification, that is what takes place at the moment of salvation. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus and receive him as my Savior, I am now viewed as justified in the eyes of the Father. Because when he looks at me, he no longer sees my sin, he sees what Jesus did. He sees that he lived a perfect life, and that he took the punishment of death that I deserve for my sin. So when I receive that gift of salvation, at that moment of salvation, I am now justified through Jesus Christ. But as I live my life for Christ, as I go forward each and every day, the Bible tells us, again, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, to be holy for he is holy. We should strive to live each and every day as Jesus did, as the example. We lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. And that's the process of sanctification, by becoming more and more like Christ each and every day. And so that's how our commitment to Christ is twofold. First, we have to make that commitment to Christ by receiving the gift of salvation. Again, next week, at the end of our service, we're going to be celebrating with those who've made that commitment, who've received Jesus as their Savior, and they're now publicly going to be professing that as we celebrate them in baptism. But sanctification, that happens each and every day. I continually commit myself to him each and every day. I entrust my life to him each and every day. So first of all, our commitment to Christ starts by giving our life to him. Giving our life to him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read a handful of verses here, where we see somebody, multiple people actually coming to Jesus saying that they want to follow after him. And he basically says what that looks like, what that means. So Luke chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 57 and read to the end of the chapter. Luke 9:57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So here what Jesus is doing, it's a very harsh passage as we're reading it, but what Jesus is telling them is that if you're going to be a follower of me, you're going to have to make sacrifices. And that could mean literally sacrificing your life and basically giving up everything that you know, everything that you have to go forward and follow him. And I love the last image that he uses in verse 62. Says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So imagine this in your mind. In this time, a man who's at a plow being pulled by some type of oxen or some animal as he's plowing, if he's looking backwards, he's probably not going to have very straight lines, right? If you're driving in your car and the whole time you're driving forward down the road, you're looking out your back window, it's probably not going to end very well, right? But what Jesus is saying is that if you're going to follow me, you can't be looking back to the things that were of your life before. You need to fully be focused on me. That's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to give up the things in our life that we might want to hold on to, things that we cherish, things that we love. But that's what it is. It's a sacrifice. So again, remembering that Jesus, while he's saying these things, he's also setting an example for us. So giving our life to him, what does that look like? Well, when we commit ourselves or our spirit to Christ, we are trusting that his sacrifice on the cross was sufficient payment for our sins. So right there, that's that moment of salvation. That is that moment of justification. Charles Ryrie says, committing one's life to God is the epitome of faith. Jesus made the supreme commitment on the cross. So again, he is that perfect example for us. In the act of us committing our life to him, fully going all in with Christ, that's the epitome of faith, as he says there. In Jesus, he made that the greatest example of that, the supreme commitment, by dying on the cross, by giving up his life, entrusting his spirit in the hands of the Father. And now because of that, we can confidently commit and entrust ourselves to Christ because of what he did on the cross. So we can trust that when I put my faith and trust in him, that salvation is true, that it is not going to fade away. I'm not going to lose it. It's not going to fall away from me. Once that happens, I am now safe in the hands of the Father. How can we know that? Again, look at Jesus' life. He lived a perfect life. Everything that he said was fulfilled. All the promises, again, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, all the promises that God has made, he has fulfilled. His track record is perfect. There's no instances where he did not fulfill his promises. So we can be confident and trust in him that when we give our life to him, that he is going to hold us, that our salvation is secured. And we are only able to do that because of what Jesus did on the cross. So first, we have to give our life to him. Again, that's that moment of salvation, that moment of justification. But secondly, the second part of our commitment is trusting our life to him. And that's going forward, trusting our life to him. In a moment, we're going to read Hebrews 9:14 and see what that means. But trusting our life to him each and every day. When I wake up every morning, I'm trusting that God is going to be beside me, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide me throughout the day. He's going to give me wisdom and discernment to make the right decisions. I'm trusting him and trusting myself to him each and every day. So just as we read earlier where Warren Wiersbe said that Jesus died confidently, willingly, and victoriously, those who receive Jesus as their Savior can die with the same confidence and assurance. Just as God kept his promise with David and Jesus, he will keep his promise with us. So the reason why I'm able to trust my life to him each and every day, the reason why I'm able to wake up and say, God, this day is for you, is because I know that no matter what happens to me today, as Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. As long as I'm alive, I can still serve him and witness to the others for him, advance the gospel and make disciples. But if I die, I am now with him. That's why I'm able to trust my life to him each and every day, because of the promises that he has made, because of that new life that I have in him. I no longer have to worry about what happens to me today. If I happen to die, I am now with him. So because of that, I can trust my life to him each and every day. We mentioned earlier with grief share, those who have a loved one who passes away that as far as we know from their life and from what they proclaim that they knew Jesus, we can be at peace. We can have confidence and assurance knowing that they are with him, knowing that we will one day be able to be with them as well. And so this is the same peace that comes from trusting our life to him while we're here on this earth is the same peace that we're able to have if a loved one dies and knowing Christ. We're able to have that confidence and assurance. Now we can commit each day of our lives to God as we serve him as well and make sacrifices through the power of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus again. So as I go throughout my daily life and serving him, what does that look like? Just living life for him each and every day. He calls me to serve in some sort of ministry at the church. I'm able to do that and entrust that he is going to guide me through that because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because through what Jesus did on the cross, now, because of salvation, I'm able to have the Holy Spirit in me to guide me in that. I don't have to lean on my own power, on my own abilities to fulfill what he's calling me to do. I can trust that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is going to fulfill what he's called me to do if I'm willing to step up and do so. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So he says there, the reason, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that same Spirit that was there to help raise him from the dead, we have that same Spirit. He says that same Spirit can purge your conscience from dead work and to serve the living God. So again, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, I'm now able to serve him each and every day. I'm able to sacrifice things that he calls me to set aside, to sacrifice, to lay down, because he laid down his life. So it's so cool as we read through this and we study into this to see how it all kind of feeds into each other, right? Because Jesus died on the cross and he trusted himself to the Father, I can now entrust myself to him. Because he died on the cross, making salvation available and the Holy Spirit available, I can now trust that he's going to lead me how he would have me live each and every day. So we are able to make sacrifices and serve him daily because of the sacrifice that he himself had made. We're able to follow Christ's example of committing his life and spirit to the Father because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. It's the only reason we're able to do that regularly and consistently is through the power of the Holy Spirit. If I try to do that on my own, I'm going to fall short. I'm going to fail. And if I trust that because of the sacrifice he made, if I've already received that gift of salvation, I'm saying I believe that what he did on the cross was sufficient. And if I follow his example of what he did on the cross and trusting in the Father, then I'm going to be able to live how he has me, how he would have me live. I'm going to be able to serve him how he would have me serve him. So again, we're able to commit our lives to Christ because he committed his life to the Father. So how do we kind of wrap this all together? Okay, again, thinking back throughout the entire series as we've gone through, looking at and studying the final sayings of Jesus from the cross. Again, remembering that, as we said earlier, we always put a lot of weight on the last thing that somebody says. And if we do that with just normal people, average, everyday, sinful man, we need to do that even more so with Jesus Christ, who lived a spotless and perfect life. Remembering that what he said on the cross carries extreme significance. Not just because he's our Savior, not just because these are his last words, but this was the completion of the sacrifice that made salvation available to us. Again, remembering that nothing that he did was ever on accident. Everything had a purpose. So as we read again today, the very last thing that we have recorded that he said before he died, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So what's the significance of those words, and why did he choose those words? Again, we know that he came here to one day die on the cross, to take on that punishment for us. But as we've also mentioned, he came and set an example for us of how we should live each and every day. In his final words before completing the sacrifice, Jesus entrusted his spirit into the hands of the Father. When we receive that gift of salvation, we are doing the exact same thing. When I receive the gift of salvation, I hear the gospel and hear the truth of it, and I receive that myself, I'm entrusting myself, my spirit, in the hands of the Father. I'm saying, God, I believe that what Jesus did on the cross was a sufficient sacrifice, a sufficient payment for the sins that I've committed. And I'm putting my faith and trust in him. And therefore, I'm now safe in your hand. And that you will never leave me or forsake me. No man can pluck me out of your hand. I know and I am confident in that fact. So again, we know that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. We can also follow the example that he set. So with his final breath, Jesus chose to trust his spirit with the Father for two reasons. Two reasons Jesus was committing his spirit into the hands of the Father. First, that he trusted that the Father would protect him and deliver him in order to make salvation available. He knew this is the whole reason he came. If this is the whole reason I came, I know that I can trust in the Father that this promise is going to be fulfilled. And again, it's so cool because we know that Jesus, he himself is God. He is part of the Trinity. He is God, the Son himself. But he's also trusting in God. So he's the one that we're able to trust in, but he's setting the example that we should be trusting in God. Second reason why he chose to trust the Spirit to the Father was, again, to set the example for those who put their trust in him. So today, as we think about the final words of Jesus from the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," let's not forget what is now available to us because of those words. First, we can be confident in death, knowing that when we commit ourselves to Jesus, he will keep us until the day of redemption. Again, at that moment of salvation, that moment of justification, when I put my faith and trust in him, I am sealed until the day of redemption. We are safe in his hands. We can have confidence as we live our life each and every day that he is going to keep us and deliver us. And secondly, we are able to daily commit our lives to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that, once again, is only made available through what Jesus did on the cross. He's not going to call us to do something that we are able to do in our own ability because, again, we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. When he calls us to do something, when he lays on your heart, "I want you to serve in this capacity. I want you to witness to this person." We talked about this Thursday night in the men's Bible study about witnessing to people. When God lays it on your heart to witness to somebody, and a lot of times we can be hesitant, right? We can kind of hold back and say, "I don't know what to say. I don't want to be rejected." Maybe just nervous, afraid, whatever it is. The reason we're doing that is we're putting it all on us. I'm putting it all on myself that I got to go. I have to be the one to deliver this message. Now, again, we are being used. I'm the one who's saying the words. But if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me, I'm not leaning on myself. He's calling me to do it. He's not going to call me to do something that I'm not able to do through the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit that's only made available through what Jesus did on the cross, that's how we're able to commit ourselves to him each and every day, by trusting and leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go ahead and pray and have a time of invitation before we take communion together this morning. And I just want to say, if you are unsaved, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you are able to commit yourself to him, to commit your life to him. And when you do that, when you commit your life to him, now when God looks at you, you are justified through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He no longer sees the sins that you've committed. There's absolutely no sin in the world that you could ever commit that is beyond saving, that is beyond the reach of salvation. And so if that's you today, I pray that you would come to know him. And for those of us who have already put our faith and trust in Jesus, we've already committed our life to him in that aspect. We've committed our spirit to him, trusting that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with him. I pray that you would also daily commit yourself to him. Daily, you would trust your life and your spirit to him, knowing that he is going to guide you, he is going to deliver you, and he is going to lead you in how he would have you live for him as you serve him today. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much again for this morning and the truth of your word. And as we read this morning, the sacrifice that Jesus made, the commitment that he made right before he died. God, we know that in doing so, he freely gave up his life. No man took his life. If he wanted to, he could have come down from that cross. If he wanted to, he would have never been arrested, God. But he allowed all of those things to happen because he knew the reason he came to this earth was to eventually go to the cross and to take on the punishment of death that we all deserve for our sin. And in doing so, he committed fully his spirit to the hands of the Father, knowing that he would keep him and deliver him. God, I pray that, again, if there's someone here who does not know you, who has not yet committed their life to you, I pray that they would do so today. I pray that they would trust that in putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that they will be delivered from their sin, that they will be delivered from the punishment of eternal death, and that they will be able to have a personal relationship with you and be able to spend eternity forever with you, God. And for those of us who have already received that gift of salvation, for those of us who have already committed our life to you in that way, I pray that we would continually commit ourselves to you, that we would continually entrust our lives to you each and every day as we face difficulties at work, difficulties in relationships, just the day-to-day life, God, just the things that we face in a fallen world. I pray that we would entrust all of that to you, that we would not try to face it and deal with it on our own, but instead that we would fully trust in you, that you know best, that your plans are better than our plans, God, and that you have given us a way of escape from temptation. I pray that we would lean on the power of the Holy Spirit when we face all of those things, Pray that we would lean on the power of the Holy Spirit as we go to serve you in ministry and in evangelizing, God. I pray that just as we lived our day-to-day life for you as an example of Christ to the world around us, I pray that we would entrust ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, just be with us through this time of invitation, and as we prepare to go and receive communion, I just pray that you bless that time as well. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you would commit yourself to Him today. And for those of us who have, recommit yourself each and every day. Commit your life to Him daily. Let's go ahead and stand and sing a song of invitation.